The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. The veterans among you know that I always love to preach on the proper readings for the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. But today, when the most famous passage in Sacred Scripture comes on up, you can't duck it. But it also is a beautiful introduction into this feast. Let's begin, though, with that most famous passage, the one that perhaps otherwise spiritually illiterate athletes know by heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. This is the essence of the gospel. This is the kerygma in redux. That God loves us. He loves us so much that he trades his own Son's life for our own, so that we might be able to live forever, so that we might not be lost. We're suffering from a massive self-esteem crisis. We're suffering from a massive loneliness crisis. We're suffering from so many maladies that all basically flow from the same principle. People do not feel loved. One of the reasons why is they don't recognize that they're loved by God. And when people don't recognize they're loved by God and allow God to love them, then it's very, very difficult for them to love other people. There are natural loves, but when we come up against the crosses, when we don't recognize that we're loved with a love that will never expire, a love that will never be contradicted, it's hard for us to continue to live in that reality of love when so many contradictions to that love are so obvious. God loves us that much, but we've got to receive that love. And to receive that love, Jesus says, we have to come to the light. God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save the world. But in order to be saved, we must believe. We must have faith in that love. We must, as St. John will say in his first letter, believe in the love that God has for us. And when we have that faith, then we begin to conform ourselves to the love. This is the verdict, St. John tells us. The light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. The light of God's love entered the world. And then the big choice, the verdict of salvation or condemnation, happens with our response to that light. Do we gravitate toward the light? Do we live in the light? Or do we shirk away from it? Sad thing is how many people live in darkness. Everyone who does wicked things, St. John says, hates that light and doesn't come toward it because he's ashamed. If he comes toward it, his works will be exposed. So he continues to hide, to lie, to fake it. And here's the takeaway. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. To live the truth about God's love for us and our love for him and others, the truth about the way God in love has made reality. We're called to live that truth. We're called to work in accordance with that truth so that all our deeds are seen as done in God. Seen first by us, seen by others. But we're cooperating with the Lord on the inside. And when we do, our works glorify our Father in heaven. And that is the way we become the light of the world that we gravitate toward in living the truth. It's a very deep point by St. John, but it's also a very clear point. Yes, we're loved. That love is light. God wants us to live in that luminescent love. And when we do, others will glorify him. In the first reading today, we see the huge contrast between those who live in darkness and those who live in the light. Those who are coming after Peter and John were trying to do things in darkness, trying to keep them hidden away. They even had them arrested at night. But the angel of light came and liberated them. And where did they go? They didn't go to hide. They went straight out in broad daylight into the public area of the temple to continue to teach. Their works were clearly being done in God as they were living the truth without fear. Those who were conspiring against the apostles, just like they conspired against Jesus, were full of fear. Caiaphas was full of fear. Said better to have one man destroyed so that the nation not be destroyed. But it wasn't just going to stop at one man. They were going after Peter and John and the others as well. Because the fear quickly turns into paranoia, and paranoia has no brakes. On the opposite side, you've got these apostles, unafraid, living in the light and the love of God, knowing that the darkness can't extinguish the light and that hatred and fear can't suffocate love. Shows us that choice between salvation and condemnation. But let's get to St. Joseph. St. Joseph is one who lived the truth and whose works were always done in the light and clearly seen as done in God. He's a model for us of integration between our relationship with God and all the works that we do in life. He shows us how to sanctify our work. We know at the beginning of time that God, before the fall, gave us the vocation to work. A threefold work, to increase and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, to have dominion over all creatures. This was a means by which we would grow in the image and likeness of God, who's always expanding his love, who himself filled the earth and subdued it as creator, who himself is the dominus, whose dominion he was allowing us to share as stewards. God gave us this incredible vocation, but with sin, with darkness, we began to do things hidden. Adam and Eve, as soon as they had sinned, tried to hide. Their increase and multiply would now come with the pains of childbirth. Their filling the earth and subduing it would become toilsome. Their having dominion over the creatures would be accomplished only with the sweat of their brow. But precisely through continuing to work, they would grow toward the light from the darkness. Work became, which was a gift in creation, became a crucial means of the redemption. Because those pains in childbirth, that toil, that sweat, would be an external sign of the type of love that was leading us to do something difficult. It would be a means of even greater love when we would suffer in order to serve people through our work. And we see the beauty of human work in St. Joseph, who taught Jesus how to work according to his humanity, who worked for the Holy Family. When I was pastor of St. Anthony's in New Bedford, we had so many beautiful stained glass windows throughout the church. But there was one hidden in the altar of St. Anne, of Jesus in the carpentry shop with St. Joseph. There you've got Joseph planing, looking at Jesus as Jesus is learning from Joseph how to plane wood. And there's Mary in the back with a smile, watching St. Joseph teach Jesus how to do this. Joseph was always working for and with Jesus. And that's the secret of truly Christian work, that we never work alone, that we live in the truth of the Incarnation, that God is with us and within us, and that we seek to do those deeds in his light, which means differently than the way that others do it. We all know what it's like to go into an office that's fully dark, and what it's like to flip on a switch. That same difference is supposed to be what happens when we work in the light of God. Jesus himself learned very well from St. Joseph how to work as a human. His work was always done in communion with the Father, who was working still, Jesus would say later. And honest human work became Jesus' most useful teaching tool. Jesus would describe the work of housewives, sewing patches on clothing, learning about the properties of salt. Jesus would talk about carpenters and fishermen and shepherds and farmers. Jesus was constantly using work as a means to describe the analogy of God's work in us, so that we might, through our work, learn how to do it in the truth. St. Jose Maria Escrivá used to talk about the threefold dimension of work. Work well done. It's first meant to be sanctified by offering it to the Father like the sacrifice of Abel. Second, in offering it to God and sanctifying the work itself, the agent is sanctified. Because there's a twofold dimension of work. We not only make something, but we make ourselves in the very process of making something. We really put our heart into it when we put our love into it. We're likewise forming ourselves, which is what led St. Gregory of Nyssa to say that we are our own parents by our actions, by the virtues of the vices that we bring to our work. So our work is a crucial part of our sanctification. Most of us will spend more than a third of our life, from the time we graduate school up until the time of retirement, which for priests and religious will probably never come, at least a third of our time working. And our sanctity really depends on our doing our work well, our work together with God, placing more and more love for God in it, and love for the neighbors whom we will serve through that work. And then lastly, St. Jose Maria said, work sanctifies others. Because that loving gift of our work to others changes them. and the way that we work with them changes them. It's rare that we work fully alone, that we never have contact with others when we work. We're always working with others. And our work is supposed to be a means by which God sanctifies them. A lot of the times we don't think about this. We're so focused on our own tasks that we don't recognize that God has perhaps given us those tasks for no other reason than to put us in contact with someone with whom we will be doing that task, so that by our own cheerfulness, by our own virtue, by our own diligence, we might be able to radiate toward them a little bit of what it would be like to work together with Jesus or Saint Joseph. Today, as we celebrate the feast of Saint Joseph the Worker, we ponder what it's like to live the truth in the light as he did, so that our works like his might be clearly seen as done in God, with God, for God, and through God. We come to the greatest work of all, which Jesus takes, not grapes and grain, but wine and bread, his creation and the work of human hands, turns it into God, so that through our holy communion with this work, his work of salvation might be complete. For God so loves the world that he gives us his only begotten Son every morning.